You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning. Sometimes we like to call it Sunday fun day. I wish I was taking a spin class right now. I'm actually taking a spin class later on this afternoon. So, and the weather's turning, the weather's changing. I've got a great day planned out. I've got, and this is what happens when you have dogs. I've got a dog play date at the dog park. When was the last time that I was able to say that? I mean, it's just, it goes to show you weather is changing. Spring is right around the corner. You got to feel good about it. We'll all be golfing soon. Taking spin classes outside. It's a good time. It's a good time. It's a good time. And so let's have a good time the next 3 hours here. We've got a great show lined up for you. I'm coming to you live from my home studio, which, by the way, Ty, I've got to get this home studio sponsored. I was thinking about the other day. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, products that I use at home to reach out to certain companies to see if they want to sponsor. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, Anita Marks coming to you live from my Starbucks. Because, you know me. Uber Eats. I do the Uber Eats Starbucks in the morning. I don't know. Some kind of dog food. Really, that should be it, right? I should reach out to, like, Farmer's Dog or something like that. Anyway, coming to you. No comment, Ty. Coming to you live from my home studio, and Ty is back in New York City holding down the fort. Just the two of us today, like it was yesterday. So, come on, Ty, sing with me. Just the two of us.
R.I.P. to the late, great Bill Withers.
We can make it if we try, just the two of us. Come on. There you go. I was really hoping that you would join me, but
oh no, I'm not gonna embarrass myself over these airwaves.
I embarrass myself every time I hit the airwaves. My voice is horrible. I break glass. Here we go. I see the crystal rain. So it's just Ty and I with you today, but that's okay. We're holding down the fort. We've got a great show lined up for you. A good friend of mine, Jimmy Patsos, former head coach of Siena, who's now one of the faces and voices of the Washington Wizards, and does their pre and post game show. He also, by the way, he's an Under Armour rep. You know, he's down there in the Maryland. So I knew Gary Will, and Ty, I don't know if you were how old you were when you were, you know, if you were really big into college basketball. Do you remember Gary Williams, head coach of Maryland, the Maryland program? He was the head coach when they won the national championship. Okay, so when I was in Baltimore for 4 years, and I knew Gary extremely well. Gary would come, not only would he be on my show, he would come into my studio, and Jimmy Patsos was his assistant coach. But Jimmy did all the dirty work. And what do I mean by dirty work? That's really shouldn't be a phrase that I use. But Jimmy would do all the recruiting, right? He would go out there, and he would hit the road, and he would do the recruiting. You know, Gary didn't have time to recruit in the sense that, listen, if you don't have the, you know what, to play in the ACC, that was Gary's spiel. Gary's spiel was, you want to come play for Maryland? You know, I'm not going to wine and dine you. I'm not going to make promises that are going to get me in trouble. Really, this comes down to, do you have the to play in the ACC and come and play at Maryland and take on the best competition in the country? If you don't, that's fine. Go play somewhere else. That was Gary Williams. That was his spiel. That was his, you know, and Jimmy was like, we got to do more than that, Gary. Like, we've got to go into the homes. We got to show the parents that we care about the kids, that not only are they going to come to Maryland to play good basketball, but they're going to get a good education. So anyway, Jimmy was, in my opinion, and I'm a little biased here because he's a very dear friend of mine, but Jimmy Patsos, I felt, was one of the best recruiters in the country. And so Jimmy and I have been friends for quite a while now, and he's no longer coaching college basketball. He's, like I said, now he's one of the voices of the Washington Wizards down there in the Maryland, D.C. area, but he's also an Under Armour rep. And he supplies a lot of these NBA players with Under Armour gear. So anyway, I reached out to him this morning, and I'm hoping that maybe he could jump on with us because it is Selection Sunday tonight, and a very unique Selection Sunday when it comes to NCAA basketball because of the pandemic. It's a little different, right? Like Duke and Virginia, because of COVID, you know, didn't participate in their conference championships. But apparently, if they so want into the big dance, well, you know, maybe they could come play. They want to, you know, if they want to take their toys and go home this season, that's okay too. So there's a lot of question marks in regard to COVID, healthy teams. You know, I was reading an article in regard to like, so this is kind of interesting, and I'm going to spend the next, you know, Selection Sunday, like I said, is tonight. I'm going to spend, you know me, Ty, as competitive as I am and as much as I like to win, I'm going to spend oodles and noodles and oodles of hours doing deep research. Now, full disclosure, I don't think I've watched one college basketball game this season. But that doesn't mean that I don't turn it on for March Madness, right? Because I think it's one of the most exciting, most fun few weeks on our sports calendar, and also an opportunity to win some money, right? And I love participating in the brackets. So I will be doing a deep dive, calling as many people that I know that are in the know when it comes to college basketball to put together as many brackets. And I probably play in like 25 pools. I love pools that allow more than one bracket. Do you play, Ty, do you play in pools? Are you going to be participating in any
yes.
NCAA pools?
Our very own Dave Rothenberg is supposed to be inviting me to his pool. So I'm still waiting for that.
Oh,
for that
really?
Link to come in, but
oh, that's
I'm excited.
Nice. I guess I'm not invited to Dave Rothenberg's pool.
Well,
what is it? What is like a is it like a $10,000 buy-in?
I'm not sure what the rules and regulations are and what the
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is.
Dave's a big roller when it comes to stuff like that.
I mean, he makes a lot of money. He's doing morning drive here on ESPN New York, 5 a to 8 a Monday mm-hmm. through Friday. So I'm assuming that came with a significant pay raise. So I wouldn't be surprised if the buy-in's about quarter mil.
So do you have a sponsor who's going to sponsor you getting in? Because I would need a sponsor to get into that pool.
Of course, maybe I can go the Michigan State Avenue. You see there were rumors that actually they were going to include the sponsor in their name. They since retracted that in a statement, but. Mortgage or Rocket Mortgage sponsorship that they're going with. So maybe I can get in on that.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little jelly. I'm a little jelly. My feelings are a little hurt that Dave didn't reach out to me to enter into his pool, but it's okay. I'll brush it off. You know me. very competitive. I probably play in, I do play in a lot of pools. Here's the thing. This is where I was going with this before I got sidetracked because I wasn't invited to Dave Rothenberg's pool. That is, I like pools that allow you to submit multiple brackets. And I'm not saying like unlimited, but I like pools that allow you to like, fine, if you want to cut it off at three, that's fine. You know, some pools allow you to submit five different brackets, you know, like that's fine as well. I don't think anything more than five, no, like I'm not down for the pools that allow you to submit as many as possible, but you know, I don't necessarily like the pools that only allow you to submit one. Where do you stand on that?
I'm pretty indifferent about that. I could see both sides. It gets a little complicated when you're submitting multiple brackets. I'll go with that. I think you should only be able to submit one bracket. Because
really?
If you're going to submit
10,000... But that doesn't surprise me about you. That doesn't
Why?
Surprise
Why
me.
Why do you say
it
that?
It just doesn't. It's just I felt that that's the direction you were going to go.
I don't like when we overcomplicate things. And if you submit 57,000 brackets, then yes, there's a higher percent chance that you're going to be right. So I'd rather you just go into it, submit one bracket, and see where you stand.
Okay.
That's
simple
that way.
And do you know what Dave Rothenberg's tournament? What his
Yeah,
pool?
Like I said, I don't have any details on that yet. I'm assuming that's going to come at some All point right. today. But right. I hope that it's only one bracket. I when you put out your, you know, it's not really a bracket, but when you fill out your predictions for the NFL playoffs, are you submitting six different ones? No, you go with one. So I think that we should have the same energy across all sports.
Fair argument. I personally like when you could, again, like if you want to cut it off at three, it's fine. But I'm someone who likes to submit multiple brackets in a competitive pool. But nonetheless, again, we're hoping to get Jimmy Patsos on at some point in time today. That would be nice. Talking about Selection Sunday. And then, like I said, I'm gonna start doing a deep dive the next few days leading up to, of course, Thursday. That's when all the fun. And by the way, well, let me ask you that, because you're pretty young. Do you have a bucket list, Ty? Do you have like an actual list that's like before you pass into whatever comes next? Right, everybody has different opinions on that. Whatever, do you have a
before
bucket
I go to
list,
heaven like, to meet my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, I do have a bucket list. It's not like physically written down, but just off the top of the dome, I've got to live in Manhattan for at least a year. I've got to move to LA. Just spitballing here. Those are the two things that come to mind. I've got to call an NBA game.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is probably at the top of the list.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, that's just going off the dome.
Things we learn about Ty on a Sunday morning at 9:16. One of my bucket list things is I want to be in Vegas this coming week. And, you know, once the pandemic's over, and which, by the way, I was in the city yesterday, and I had some errands I had to run, and I went into the city to take a spin class, like I said, and I was driving around the city. So many people were out walking around. Everybody still had masks on, but it was nice. It was the first time that I've been in the city in a long time that it just felt like we're getting back to normal. So I just want to share that with everyone. It was just, I felt like yesterday to me was a good day, right? Like majority of my friends that I'm hearing from, majority of them have already gotten the vaccine. I have not yet. I'm hoping once Hoboken opens the vaccine to my age group, I can get it. But I feel like we're like, you know, based on my experience yesterday, and what was going on in New York City, beautiful day, so many people were out. It was nice. It was a good feel. Just kind of made me feel good. Like, all right, you know, we've turned the corner here, and I'm really looking forward to the spring, and I'm really looking forward to the summer, and you know, hopefully only good things to come for all of us. God bless. But with that being said, so when the pandemic, when all this is over and everything kind of goes back to more normal than what we're experiencing right now, that's one of my bucket list things, is I want to be in Vegas for this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, this is the week and the weekend I want to spend in Vegas with March Madness starting, sitting, having a table at a sports book and just taking it all in, watching these college basketball games all day, all night. That is a bucket list thing for me. I love the tournament so much. So, what else are we going to get into today? We've got Connor Rogers, who's going to be joining us at the top of the next hour at 10 o'clock. Let's talk some NFL. Rich Cimini, who, you know, I've got immense respect for. I think he does a phenomenal job covering the Jets. He's got a great article out right now in regard to the Jets and, you know, where some ideas, some concepts, where the Jets are headed. What's going to happen with Sam Darnold? Who are and where are those teams that potentially could be interested in Sam Darnold? So I do want to dive into Rich Cimini's article, and I will tee those things up for Connor Rogers. Yesterday, Ty, if you recall, we played a clip from the University of Florida tight end coach, Tim Brewster. I want to replay that clip today because I want to revisit that conversation, because I spoke to two more scouts yesterday after my show, and they're telling me the same thing. Kyle Pitts is the second best player in this draft, and I think it's worthy of a conversation that we have whether or not the Jets should draft Kyle Pitts to Moak Hamilton, who's become a staple with us every weekend, is going to join us at 11 o'clock to talk some NBA. You've got the Nets and the Knicks who won last night, so that's exciting stuff. We'll dive into some NBA talk, and we'll take your calls. 809. Oh, by the way, Patrick Ewing, the Hoyas, upset over Creighton, so they win the Big East. This would be the first time they headed the Big Dance since 2015, and this is Patrick's fourth season, which, by the way, I reached out to him on Twitter yesterday. I did not hear back from him, but I reached out on Twitter asking him if he wants to join the show. We'll see. Maybe one day soon, he will join us. My history with Patrick Ewing goes way back to Miami. I was good friends with Alonzo Mourning. Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning were as thick as thieves. So I met Patrick through Alonzo when the Knicks would come to Miami to take on the Miami Heat. So I know Patrick. I used to know Patrick extremely well. I haven't spoken to him in over a decade, but I did reach out to him. I'm hoping maybe we can get Patrick on the show at some point in time.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning. We typically like to call it Sunday Fun Day. Ty producing the show. 800-919-3776. Sal, I see you. We're going to get to you in just a second. And since you want to talk about the Nets, let's do that. And actually, oh, man. It's on my other computer. Damn it. I want to see, because Sal's question and his comment is about Harden winning the MVP, which, by the way, Ty, give me props. Who was talking Harden MVP weeks ago?
You were. He's not going to win it. He's not going to win the MVP. But
stop.
He won't win it.
Don't throw that out there.
He's not going to win it.
Don't throw that out there. I want to see, because
spectacular. He's the MVP of the Nets. He's one of the best players in the NBA. But Embiid's the front runner right now. He's going to be out for a couple weeks, but he's still going to be in the race. LeBron James, Nikola Jokic. Harden's not going to win the MVP. I'm sorry, Adina.
You don't know that, boo. You don't know that.
We could wager some money on it. Because I know you're into that kind of thing.
But you're a little biased because you're a LeBron James fan. But let's shelf that for a second. I just wanted to make sure that I could, just so you know, right now. So when I was talking about Harden, jumping on Harden winning the MVP, it was 33-1. Remember that? It's now down to 16-1. Okay. LeBron James is plus 160, so he's leapfrogged over Embiid. And Embiid, what do we know about Embiid's injury, right? From what I read, MRI, not serious, right?
Yeah, he's got a deep bone bruise that is not expected to be season-ending, obviously. But it's significant, but not as bad as what it looked like when he got hurt on Friday night.
So prior to Embiid getting injured, Embiid was favored 2-1 to win the MVP. LeBron James was plus 250. So now LeBron is favored at plus 160. Embiid is 6-1. Giannis is 14-1. Luka is 14-1. Steph Curry 16-1. Harden is 16-1. Again, used to be 33-1. Just sharing that, just throwing that out there, marinating that for a minute. Sal, we're going to get to you in just a hot second. The Nets, they take care of the Pistons. 195 game, a little, I don't know about you, Ty, game a little too close for comfort for me. Weren't you saying that you were taking the Nets and the points?
Yeah, they were. I see. And they were up by 10, 11 late in that fourth quarter or midway.
It was 11. So then the Nets were favored by 11.
Yeah.
And we had Joe Wiz on yesterday. He took Detroit, right? He took Detroit with the points, didn't he?
I believe so. It was a little disappointing, though, because the Nets had that game pretty much in control before the Pistons made a little bit of a run. So 6 minutes to go in the game. They're up 9. You feel pretty good about what's happening. The Pistons take the lead late with 3 minutes left, and then Harden scores 15 of his 25 points in that fourth quarter.
So we were talking a lot. So Harden, a double-double was minus 385. I didn't write down, unfortunately, I did not write down what the triple-double odds were. I want to say they were probably, if I recall, I want to say they were like 7-1, something like that for Harden. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. So this is his ninth triple-double since he's joined the Nets. And this is his 55th of his career. Okay. Kyrie had 18 points, by the way. And also, the Nets have won 19 of their last 26 games. Just FYI. So I just share that with you just to say, again, I know it's a long shot, but at 16-1, especially, man, what happens when, see, now here's another thing. You could be saying to yourself, well, Anita, what happens when KD gets back? KD gets back, is he going to be stealing a lot of Harden's thunder? He possibly could. Maybe we see less points from Harden, but I think the assists go up for Harden, right? Maybe the rebounds go down. It's been a hot second, right? It's been a hot second since Harden has played. I mean, since KD has played. So how is that going to affect, you know, the threesome? We don't know. But again, at 6-1, I think it's worthy of just throwing some coin down. Let's go to Sal in Dutchess. Sal, you want to talk about Harden potentially winning the MVP? What you got?
Yes. Good morning. That's all I want to know. Just to see if it's worth throwing a couple of bucks on it or something. And you guys, both of you, gave me good insight. But now if I could ask about the NCAA tournament. Like, I had two teams that I loved, Michigan and Florida State. But with Michigan getting one of their guys hurt, that's going to be out, and Florida State keeps turning the ball over and over, like 25 or more times a game. Do you think that's wise to keep what they got? I mean, I know it's going to be different in a tournament, but what do you think?
With full disclosure, Sal, and thank you for your phone call. I have not watched one NCAA game all season. I have not. But you can guarantee that once Selection Sunday happens later on tonight, I'm going to be doing a very deep dive, just the competitive nature of myself and wanting to win pools. I'm going to be doing a very deep dive and analysis into the tournament and the teams on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, getting ready for Thursday. So I will have, moving forward on the show, we'll have NCAA guests on with us each and every weekend. And we'll have plays for you. Of course, I host that Week and Wager show every Friday night right here on 98.7 ESPN from 10 to midnight. I'll have a ton of plays for you on that show and throughout the tournament. But we do have Jimmy Patsos. He's confirmed with us. He's going to be joining us in about 15 minutes, former head coach of Siena, as well as Loyola. Prior to that, worked with Gary Williams at Maryland and now is part of the Washington Wizards broadcast team. He's going to be joining us in 15 minutes, and I will absolutely pose that question to him. 800-919-3776. This is our Hoops update, by the way, brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. 800-919-3776. Let's get on board. Your thoughts on Harden at 16-1. Do you feel that he has a legit chance to win over LeBron, Giannis, or are you just... And again, I could totally understand and respect. Listen, we don't know what's going to happen when KD comes back.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I think RJ knows where he is at 29, and a player likes that round number, 30-point game, your first of your career.
And there now it is. Pass inside for Barrett. It's good, and he is fouled by Moses Brown. He must be listening to you, Alan.
It's in his head. These players know.
Alan Hahn on the call. The Knicks, they take care of the Thunder 119-97. RJ Barrett, 32 points. That prop bet heading into over under 17.5. So if you took the over on RJ Barrett yesterday, we talked about that. I took the over because remember, Ty, you and I were talking. I wasn't seeing any prop bets for Julius Randle. So I said, I asked you, right? I said, is something wrong with Julius Randle? Is he not going to play today? And you said, no, you haven't seen anything. So I put money down on RJ Barrett over 17.5 because I wasn't sure, why weren't we seeing any prop bets on Julius Randle? So that won for me. And then Julius Randle, we talked about it on the show. Double-double was -195. A triple-double was 10-1. Remember, and I said, all right, I'm going to put $1 on it. Why not? Poops and giggles. Let's do it. So I won $10. Won $10 off of $1. 26, 12, and 12. Shooting 70%. By the way, this is the first... trivia question for you. Ty, you ready?
Let's do it.
This is the first back-to-back triple-double for a Knicks player.
Mark Jackson.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Look at you. I love it. Good job, my friend.
first, two triple doubles in the season. First time since Mark Jackson did it.
Right. So they weren't back to back. I thought I read that they were back to back.
They weren't.
They
weren't.
Okay. All right. So
Randall was not good against against the Bucks. It's just two triple-doubles in the season.
Okay, two triple-doubles in the season since 1988-89 season, and that was Mark Jackson. Great job. More importantly...
That's embarrassing, though, Anita. It's been three decades since you've had that.
I mean,
that
listen,
this is,
what do you mean? It's the, like, this is what's been happening with this team. This team has been struggling for.
Struggling ain't the word, man.
For,
like,
for a
three,
long time
it's been
now,
30
man.
Years since you've had a player. And we just talked about Harden's got nine with the Nets. He's been here 5 minutes. You haven't had two triple doubles in a season for 30 years? That's insane.
Well, let me throw it back at you. Like, you know, what player?
No, I agree. They're like, Mello.
I was just gonna say Mello. Like, what player for the Knicks do you feel let the organization down in regards to that? Yeah, Mello comes to mind.
I mean, you get triple doubles from any position these days. David Lee, Carmelo Anthony. You can go back to Stephon Marbury. And now the Knicks have been devoid of a lot of talent the last 20 or so years. But, you know, Patrick Ewing, like Allen Houston, like there are a bunch of names you would throw on that list as far as being on a quote-unquote triple-double watch. It's just shocking that it hasn't happened. And for Ewing, I guess double-double is a ton for Ewing, obviously. But it's just shocking.
And again, we mentioned Patrick Ewing earlier in the show, and we just want to give him a shout out and congratulations. This is his fourth season with the Georgetown Hoyas, and they beat Creighton, upset, really, in the Big East. So the Hoyas will be heading back to the Big Dance the first time since 2015. Jimmy Patsos, like I said, former coach of Siena and Loyola and assistant coach at Maryland and now with the Wizards. He's going to be joining us momentarily. I will ask him about Patrick Ewing and the success that he's having now at Georgetown. So I was trying in the break. I was looking up to see what are the team futures to make it to the postseason for the Knicks, and it's off the board right now. And again, this is something that we've been talking about for weeks now. If you go back 3 weeks, you could have gotten the Knicks to make it into the postseason at plus 210. And at that point in time, I want to say they were like hovering around 6 or 7, if I recall, Ty, right? And then last week we talked about it. Last Sunday when we had this discussion, because we had Moke Hamilton on last Sunday, he's going to be joining us again at 11 o'clock. We were talking about it, and I want to say they were minus 110. It was minus money at that point. But again, if the season had ended last Sunday, it would have they would have been sitting at the fifth seed. So, and of course, the talk and speculation is, you know, as we get closer to the trade deadline, what are they going to do? Some people feel that they're going to, you know, offer the world for Bradley Beal. This team is playing, you know, really, really solid basketball, especially on the defensive side of the ball. 18 turnovers they forced yesterday against the Thunder. So, you know, but again, 3 weeks ago, if you were able to jump on it at plus 210, I felt that was one of the best bets out there. Since then, I haven't. What's going on with Dallas? What has the Mavericks done so far? Do we know? Have you been watching them lately?
I want to call up the
standings. Here we go.
What do you mean? What have they done lately?
So they've won one, right? So they're sitting at 20-17, and they're in the eighth seed, because that was another conversation we had. Would you rather put money down that the Knicks make it to the postseason or Dallas does not make it to the postseason? Again, for me, it's all about KP. I think they're riding that KP stays healthy. If he stays healthy, then, yeah, I think Dallas makes it to the postseason. But big reason why he's not here anymore, or one of the reasons, is because he can't stay healthy. So I actually remember we talked about it. I put money down that Dallas would not make it into the postseason.
They're going to make the playoffs, Anita.
Okay, we'll see. Golden State is on their coattails right now.
Usually when you have a top seven player, that team's in the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. And right now you say Golden State's on their heels. But, you know, Dallas right now, just a game back of being the sixth seed. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. You don't have Luka Doncic and miss the playoffs. That's not going to happen.
I just feel that a lot of it, and no disrespect to Luka, I know he's one of the best in the NBA. I just feel if KP gets injured, and he misses a significant amount of time in the postseason, I just don't see Dallas making it. And at that point in time, I want to say it was +210 3 weeks ago. I thought it was worth a bet. When we come back, Jimmy Patsos is going to join us. It is Selection Sunday. Later on tonight, a number of young men will be celebrating with the opportunity to win a national championship. And unfortunately, there will be a number of young men who are going to be disappointed because they're sitting on the bubble right now and they're praying to God that tonight they get selected. But obviously, there's only so many teams that can, so some hearts are going to be broken.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Rich Cimini has an article out in regard to just, you know, kind of painting a broad picture of all the things that the Jets could possibly do as we get closer to free agency and, of course, the draft and then potentially trading Sam Darnold. And here's a little snippet from his article. Former NFL head coach June Jones, who studies college quarterbacks closely, is a big fan of BYU's Wilson and Alabama's. He likes them better than Clemson's Trevor Lance, by the way, interesting, because of their deep ball accuracy. Now, here's where it gets good. Jones told ESPN, quote unquote, "I've graded quarterbacks every year since I got to the pros. And I think of all the guys I've watched since 1983, marinating that for a minute. Since 1983, I think Mac Jones is the most accurate down the field of any that I've graded." Since 1983, it's a lot of damn quarterbacks. And one of the biggest keys in having success in the NFL is accuracy. And another thing that Mac Jones does, and again, I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just sharing with you what scouts have communicated to me. He throws wide receivers open. He doesn't throw to wide receivers once they are open. That does not work in the NFL. Speed, DBs, too good. You need to throw wide receivers open. You don't throw to a wide receiver once they are open. And that's another thing that Mac Jones does better than any of these guys. 800-919-3776. Go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Anita. How are you?
Good morning.
You know, good spot with Rodgers. And, you know, I look at it. Man, I've been following Jets a really long time, and free agency really hasn't been too kind to them, except for, I guess, you go back, Curtis Martin, Kevin Mawai, maybe a couple of guys I'm not mentioning right now. But I think Joe D, I think he's going to approach this differently. He's got the money to spend. I think he's going to spend it. I've been saying it all winter. He's probably going to have to spend more than he's comfortable with just because of the Jets' track record the last 10 years, the quarterback situation. I mean, you could sing the praise of Saleh. He hasn't coached a game yet. He's going to have his guys come over here. But, you know, receivers aren't going to flock here just because Saleh's the head coach. You don't know who's throwing him the ball. It's going to be interesting. But for your point, number two, unless you're a quarterback-needy team, I always stick to my board, and I try to take the best available player at that spot. And to your point, Pitts probably is the second-best player in the draft. But for the Jets situation, I just think it would be a luxury pick if they're keeping Sam, which, I mean, they're not, so this is a moot point. They don't have the luxury of taking a tight end that high with so many holes that they need to fill right now.
But here's the thing, Iron. Thank you for your phone call. Not only is he the top tight end in this draft, there are scouts telling me that he's the best wide receiver in this draft. And what do I mean by that? Typically, and again, you know, for folks that are listening in, maybe you've never played the sport, I don't know, but you've got the X, the Y, and the Z. And typically, the tight end plays the Y position. And that Y position typically is the player who can stay home and block or can go out and be a receiver as a tight end outside your right or left tackles. Well, the great thing about Pitts is that you could line him up at the X, the Y, and the Z. There's not, you know, there's very few tight ends in the NFL that you can do that. Travis Kelce, Little, you know, there's not a lot of tight ends in the Darren Waller. They're few and far between. So, again, when we get back, I'm going to play the clip from the University of Florida tight ends coach to give us some more information on Pitts. Mel, I see you. Mel in Jersey wants to talk about the Giants and them needing some offensive line help. There's some news on Nate Solder. Apparently, reports are that the Giants are reworking his deal. Right now, he's scheduled to make $10 million this coming season, but $16.5 would be the cap hit that the Giants would take for Solder. And let's be honest, not one of the best tackles in the NFL and hasn't been for the past 2 years. Well, he didn't even play last year.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's dive into it and let's start local before we go big picture. And let's start with the Nets. They take care of the Pistons. Game a little too close for comfort, 195. But Harden, another triple-double. His ninth since he's joined the Nets, his 55th in his career. I've got money down that Harden will win the MVP. I know it's a long shot. It's 16-1. Just out of curiosity, how do you envision this team playing once KD gets back and on the court? Are we going to continue to see these triple doubles and these double doubles from Harden, or do you think the entire dynamic's going to change?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to change a little bit just because, you know, there's no way you're going to put a player as talented as Kevin Durant on the floor and the offense not kind of wrap itself around him, so to speak. But I think the thing that I'm really encouraged by with the Nets is just their overall shot distribution. For their reputation as being so ball dominant, both James Harden and Kyrie, you know, first of all, Kyrie willing to cede the point guard duties to James Harden, that was huge for those guys. And that's obviously been paying major dividends already. But, you know, you look at yesterday, just for example, you know, Harden has 19 shots, Kyrie has 18, and then you have five other Nets that take at least 6 shots. So it's good shot distribution. As far as Durant is concerned, he is unique in that traditionally he hasn't been one of those players that need 20 to 25 shots to get you 25 to 30 points. You know, we saw that in Golden State. This is a guy who you might get 15 shots in a game. He might nail 10 of them and get to the line another couple of times. And by the time you turn around, you see he has such an efficient 26 to 30 points. I think his game has kind of evolved in that regard. So when he comes back, I don't really think there's going to be much trouble getting him to kind of, you know, wrap himself around the system that these guys have built in his absence. And when he does come back, they're going to be as close to unstoppable as we've ever seen. They're a little different in the Warriors' big three, and that each of the three of them are unstoppable isolation players, and each of the three of them are unstoppable catching shooters as well. So it's going to be quite the task for the NBA to try to stop these guys.
Again, Mo Hamilton, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. Big picture in regard to the MVP with Embiid. And unfortunately, him injuring his knee, apparently it's the MRI is revealing that it's a deep bone bruise. But he's going to be on the shelf for a while. So, you know, his odds winning the MVP dropped tremendously. LeBron James now favored again. I want to say it. I shared it with our listeners a little bit early. I think plus 150, plus 180, something like that. With Embiid's injury, are you feeling like this is going to be a runaway MVP for LeBron James the second half of the season?
You know, I definitely do not think that. And it's funny. So I do think that there is some groupthink sometimes. And I do think that sometimes there's a subliminal propensity to give a guy what amounts to like a lifetime achievement award, or I don't want to say a sympathy vote, but something along those lines. And I think that there are a lot of people. I'll say this. I think the MVP award was LeBron's to lose coming into the season because a lot of people felt like he was the true MVP last year. You know, Giannis gets the award, and then obviously the playoffs don't count officially. But when you see Giannis get the award and then you see the Lakers win the championship and you see LeBron win finals MVP, you kind of scratch your head a little and say, wait a minute, are we sure this guy wasn't the MVP? So I think we came into this season sort of wanting to make that up to LeBron. So I do think it was his to lose. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of voters are swayed by the record on the court. And I'm not sure why I'm not hearing more talk about Chris Paul. You know, the Phoenix Suns are a team that
that didn't make the playoffs last season. And as we wake up now on the day that daylight savings time began, almost messed me up, man. I forgot, to be honest with you. But, you know, when that happens and we wake up and we see that the Phoenix Suns are second place in the Western Conference and they're actually ahead of the Lakers in the standings, I'm not sure why more people aren't talking about Chris Paul as the MVP candidate, maybe because he's being outshined by Devin Booker, who is the leading scorer for that team. But if I'm laying money down on a dark horse right now, personally, it's probably Chris Paul. Aside from that, I will say that it's probably LeBron's record to lose. But let's also remember that Anthony Davis isn't 100% healthy, and he's still going to be out for another couple of weeks. And if the Lakers don't win their division, or, you know, if they end up coming in, you know, with 50 wins to end the season, I'm not sure that's going to be enough for LeBron to get the award. So as of right now, especially with Embiid's injury, I think it's an open field, Anita. And if you got a couple extra dollars, man, you know, you might want to, you know, hedge the bet a little and maybe lay out a little money on, you know, Chris Paul, or, you know, maybe Donovan Mitchell, or, you know, Paul George, or somebody like that. That would be my advice.
You mentioned the Lakers. What is the latest with Anthony Davis, and what do you feel the chances are the Lakers, and how deep of a run they could make? Let's just say Anthony Davis tries to come back, Achilles bothers him again. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you know, the Lakers don't have 100% Anthony Davis in the second half of the season, let alone when they get into the postseason. What do you think their chances are of winning another championship?
Well, I mean, they can't win another championship without Anthony Davis. Like, I'll say that just very, very bluntly. They did really recreate that roster. It's funny, you don't usually see a defending champion do that. But, you know, with the addition of Dennis Schroeder and Mark Gasol and Wes Matthews, you know, they really kind of remade that rotation. And I think improved it overall. However, you know, Anthony Davis is, you know, a top five talent in the league, and the Lakers do not win the championship last year if not for him. There are not that many, but there were some people that thought that he should have gotten a little more consideration for Finals MVP. I personally thought that was crazy, but the point is there are people out there that hold him in that high of esteem to think that, you know, he should have gotten more votes for that. As far as how deep of a run they can make without Davis, I mean, maybe they could win a round without him, but I wouldn't see them advancing out of the second round. I wouldn't see them getting as far as the Western Conference Finals without him. The thing about Davis that's a little scary, so from what I understand, you know, they're going to keep him on the shelf for another 2 weeks at least. They're going to reevaluate him in two more weeks. But what's scary about him, Anita, is that he's having lower extremity issues, you know, specifically ankle and Achilles are things that we hear that are bothering him. And that's a little disconcerting because, one, Anthony Davis is a guy who's had some issues staying healthy for the most part over the course of his career. And secondly, you got to remember the Lakers played all the way into the finals last year, didn't have much of an offseason, and then boom, all of a sudden they're back at it again. That is a recipe for guys sustaining injury. And I think for that reason, the Lakers are going to be extremely cautious with him. They're going to give him as much rest as possible. And I think as long as you see them hanging tough in one of those top four seeds in the Western Conference, they're probably going to be very, very conservative as for when they do decide to bring him back. If LeBron is able to keep them in the second seed or the third seed and they end up winning 55 games, then, yeah, I think he's probably a shoo-in for the MVP at that point. But I don't think those circumstances are promised.
Again, Mo Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we let you go, let's talk about the Knicks. They take care of the Thunder, 119-97. RJ Barrett, 32 points. Julius Randle, triple-double, baby, shooting 70%. More importantly, defensively, 18 turnovers that they forced. So back to their defensive ways, which unfortunately we did not see them execute against the Bucks the previous game. But with that being said, as we get closer to the trade deadline, what do you see this Knicks team doing, Moke?
Well, I think they're going to kick the tires on a lot of things. I do think that, and I will say that pretty much since the season began, you know, I've been hearing very consistently that the two-guard spot is where they're looking, you know. And I've heard from multiple people that Bradley Beal is a guy that that front office would love to get their hands on. I think I've actually said that a few times with you already, Anita. But the latest that I've heard is that Leon Rose and Scott Perry and Worldwide West, like, it's not like they're trying to break this team up. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you know, those of us that have been around for a little while, we remember the days of, you know, Steve Francis and Stephon Marbury and Eddie Curry and Jamal Crawford and Zach Randolph and all the talent that the Knicks had. But I think this franchise as a whole kind of understands that it's not all about the talent. It's not all about the names on the roster. You know, it's about having chemistry with the pieces on the roster. And it's about having a head coach that connects with the players and can actually develop them. And I think that, you know, the way these guys are playing under Tom Thibodeau, after, you know, 30, 35, 40 games, you know, 39 games to be exact, after 39 games, you kind of know who you are as a team. And the Knicks play hard. They play defense. You know, they can win some games on the road. And they're beating talented NBA teams. And if those are the circumstances, then you find yourself in the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, my goodness, just a half game outside of the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference with such a young squad and with assets, I don't know why you'd be quick to blow that all up. And from what I understand, that is the lens through which the Knicks front office is looking at everything. And I wouldn't be shocked to see them stand pat through the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm enjoying watching this team this season more than most, right? Like, it's just, it's a fun team to watch. And I'm with you. I hope they don't break them up because, you know, the chemistry and especially how well they're playing defense is really great.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, Randall obviously becoming an all-star, you know, a triple double threat pretty much every night. And then, I mean, look, you know, last night, RJ Barrett drops a career high, you know, on the road in the game. And I mean, the Thunder, you know, the Thunder may be rebuilding, but that's a talented team. You know, they've beaten some really good teams this season, and it's not like it's a given that you're going to be able to go into Chesapeake Energy Arena and walk out there with a W. So I think last night's win, especially coming off of that beatdown that they sustained at the hands of the Bucks, that's eye-opening. I think that those are the kind of wins that kind of tell you what kind of team you're dealing with. You know what I mean? So all props to Tom Thibodeau and all props to the Knicks, man. They're playing some good basketball.
Moke, you rock. I appreciate you, Big Daddy. And I call him Big Daddy because he's got – how old is she now? How old's the – a few months, right?
So let's see. She was 5 weeks on Friday. So she's a little more than 5 weeks now. But, man, I think she looks older than that. I mean, I just texted you a couple of pictures. You know,
I know. She doesn't look 5 weeks.
She's a resemblance, man. Daddy's big girl.
Aw, that's God bless you. God bless you and your beautiful wife. And we so appreciate you, Moke. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
You got it. Moke Hamilton. Make sure you follow him on all things social media. So good talking basketball with him. We get back, like I promised. We'll hear from this University of Florida tight ends coach, Tim Brewster. Got a tweet from this dude named Chris. Why would the Jets take Pitts at 2 instead of trading down to get him? What a terrible thing to say out loud. Again, here's the thing. If Pitts is the second best player, I know all we keep on hearing is about how, you know, how Zach Wilson, Fields, Trey Lance, you know, otherworldly, athletically off the charts. But these are not, when you're sitting in a organization's draft room, I won't call it a war room, in their draft room, and you're looking at their board, probably chances more than half of the 32 teams have Pitts as the second best player in this draft. Some might even have him as the best because now we're hearing even June Jones, if you read Rich Samini's, he thinks that Zach Wilson and Justin Fields are better than Trey Lance. I mean, better than Trevor Lawrence. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's a handful of the 32 teams that actually have Kyle Pitts as the number one player coming out of this draft. And if teams abide by draft the best player available, maybe somebody's going to be knocking on the door of the Jets to move up to get Pitts. You never know. Crazier things have happened in this draft.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.